तस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्री आविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्री आविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्रियाविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्रियाविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। माताजी श्री आविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्रियाविर्होत्र उवाच कर्मा कर्म विकर्मेति वेदवादो न लौकिकः वेदस्य चेश्वरात्मत्वात् तत्र मुह्यन्ति सूरयः। श्री आविर्होत्रः उवाच द सेज आविर्होत्र सेड कर्म द एग्जीक्यूशन ऑफ ड्यूटीज प्रिस्क्राइब्ड बाय स्क्रिप्चर अकर्म फेलियर टू परफॉर्म सच ड्यूटीज विकर्म engagement in forbidden activities iti thus vedavadah subject matter understood through the vedas na not laukikah mundane vedasya of the vedas cha and ईश्वर आत्मत्वात् बिकॉज ऑफ कमिंग फ्रॉम द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हिमसेल्फ तत्र इन दिस मैटर मुह्यन्ति बिकम कन्फ्यूज्ड सूरयः इवन ग्रेट स्कॉलरली अथॉरिटीज। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Avirhotra replied, prescribed duties, non-performance of such duties and forbidden activities are topics one can properly understand through authorized study of the Vedic literature. This difficult subject matter can never be understood by mundane speculation. The authorized Vedic literature is the sound incarnation of the personality of Godhead Himself, and thus Vedic knowledge is perfect. Even the greatest learned scholars are bewildered in their attempts to understand the science of action if they neglect the authority of Vedic knowledge. Purport: prescribed duties authorized by revealed scripture are called karma, whereas the failure to execute one's highest duty is called akarma. The performance of forbidden activities is called vikarma. Thus, karma, akarma and vikarma are established by the authorized explanations of Vedic literature. They cannot be ascertained merely through mundane exercises in logic. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text 51, the Lord says, Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamobhe Shashvati Tanu. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations of the Vedas, such as Omkara and Hare Krishna Hare Ram, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental Vedic sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Similarly, it is stated in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 40, Vedo Narayana Sakshat Swayambhur Iti Shushruma. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj in the Purusha Sukta, Rigveda Mandal 10, Sukta 90, Mantra 9, it is stated, Tasmad yajna sarvahuta rijasamani jajnire chandagamsi jajnire tasmat. From him, yajna, came all sacrificial offerings, hymns of invocation and songs of praise. All the mantras of the Vedas come from the Lord. All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are completely transcendental and free from the four defects of conditional life, namely mistakes, illusion, cheating and imperfect senses. So, Vedic knowledge, being a plenary manifestation of the Supreme Lord, is similarly infallible and transcendental. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that in the material world, which is controlled by the illusory energy of the Lord, a particular sound vibration is discarded after describing its object. But on the spiritual platform called Vaikuntha, nothing is ever lost, and thus Shabda Brahma, or the personality of Godhead in his form as transcendental sound, is eternal. In ordinary human discourse, one can ascertain the meaning of human words by understanding the intention of the speaker. But since Vedic knowledge is apaurusheya or transcendental, one can appreciate its purport only by hearing from the standard authorities. In the chain of disciplic succession, this process is prescribed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. Thus, even highly learned scholars who proudly neglect this simple descending process are certainly bewildered and embarrassed in their hopeless attempt to ascertain the ultimate meaning of Vedic knowledge. The four sons of Lord Brahma declined to answer the question of King Nimi, since at that time was a mere child and therefore not capable of seriously surrendering to the process of hearing to disciplic succession. Srila Madhvacharya has pointed out in this regard, Ishwaratmatvad Ishwara Vishayatvad. Because the Vedas describe the unlimited personality of Godhead, Vedic knowledge cannot be approached by mundane methods of comprehension. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతీతానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయాద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. సర్వశాస్త్రాబ్ధి పీయూష సర్వవేదైక సత్ఫల సర్వసిద్ధాంతరత్నాఢ్య సర్వలోకైక దృక్ప్రద సర్వభాగవత ప్రాణ శ్రీమద్భాగవత ప్రభో కలిధ్వాంతోదితాదిత్య శ్రీకృష్ణ పరివర్తిత పరమానంద పాట్నాయ ప్రేమవర్ష అక్షరాయతే సర్వదా సర్వసేవ్యాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమోస్తు మే. మదేకబంధో మత్సంగిన్ మద్గురో మన్మహాధన మన్నిస్తారక మద్భాగ్య మదానంద నమోస్తుతే. అసాధు సాధు తాదాయిన్ అతినీచోచ్చ తారక హానముంచ కదాచిన్ మాం ప్రేమ్నా హృత్కంఠయో స్ఫుర. హరే కృష్ణ. ఆఫ్టర్ ది నెక్టేరియన్ డిస్కోర్స్ past times of Srimati Radharani, now we have to discuss from text 43, chapter 3, canto 11, and this is a topic the text describes very technical subject matter, not some very nice pastimes. It is talking about subject matter related to karma, akarma, vikarma. So when I read this verse and the translation and the purport, for most of us who are first student, at least speaking for myself, first a student of Bhagavad Gita and then who have read Bhagavatam, the very first thing that struck me was how akarma is defined in this particular verse. As far as karma and vikarma is concerned, they are more or less in line with what we have read in Bhagavad Gita. Karma is prescribed duties and vikarma is those which are prohibited duties, which we are not supposed to perform, or sinful activities. But akarma in the Bhagavad Gita is described differently than what we read in this particular verse. So akarma is activities which produce no reaction to the work, or basically devotional service in Bhagavad Gita. But here, failure to perform prescribed duties or failure to perform the karma, duties as given in the scriptures. So failure to perform this, so here that akarma is more a grammatical or a syntactic a. Prefix a in front of any word negates it in Sanskrit. So akarma means failure to perform your karma or the prescribed duties as given in the scriptures. So here we can see broadly this particular verse and purport we can divide into broadly into three parts. One is, first of all, this is very difficult subject matter, discussion about karma, akarma and vikarma. This has been time and again explained to us how it is such a difficult subject matter. Bhagavad Gita series of verses, Lord Krishna talks about this topic and he says, so first section we can understand that it is a very difficult subject matter and it cannot be understood by mundane speculation. And second aspect of this particular, another aspect is that this is a sound incarnation of the Lord, and at the conclusion of the purport, as they have quoted Madhvacharya, they said that since this is the sound incarnation of the Lord, therefore, because the Vedas describe the unlimited personality of Godhead, therefore, again, Vedic knowledge cannot be approached by mundane methods of comprehension. And that this particular Vedic knowledge is not of human concoction or manufacture. It is apaurusheya. So, and third part is, even the greatest learned scholars are bewildered in their attempts to directly understand the science of action. So, we have to follow not the Vedic knowledge as delineated by the parampara system. So himself, Lord Krishna, when he talks about this topic in Bhagavad Gita, he says that all the liberated souls in the ancient times, evam jnatva kritam karma purvair api mumukshubhi, all liberated souls in the past also have acted with this understanding. Kuru karma eva tasmatvam purvai purvataram karatam. Most importantly, what Krishna says, that therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps of those who are already realized this in the past. And then, he says about how the intricacies are very difficult to understand, and therefore, one should properly know what is action, what is forbidden action, what is inaction. Karmanopyapi bodhavyam. Is, and then kim karma kim akarmati kav, and this is a very interesting verse, kim karma kim akarmati kavayo api atra mohitaha. Even kavi, or like we read in the first canto of Bhagavatam, kavi means not just somebody who writes poetry. In one way he writes poetry, but the deeper implication of the word kavi is somebody who is a very intellectual person, who has very high level of intelligence. Why? Because writing poetry which makes sense, which is poetry also, and which delivers philosophical knowledge and information, requires a high level of intellectual capability. Otherwise, what we might get is what we see thrown around in Bollywood. That is all mundane kavi. You don't get philosophical content, knowledge, and at the same time set to nice meter, you can sing it nicely, it's so nicely poetic also, it fits according to all the technical intricacies of how poetry should be composed. So therefore, here it says, kavayo api atra mohitaha, kim karma kim akarmeti, what is karma, what is akarma. This subject matter is something which even bewilders kavis or highly intellectual persons. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. So Krishna talks about, and in the purport of this kim karma kim akarmeti, Srila Prabhupada, he gives a very fantastic purport. He says, action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accord with the examples of previous bona fide devotees. Because even Krishna, you know, he talks in that verse I mentioned, Purvai Purvataram Kritam. You have to do it according to how they did it. Krishna tells Arjuna. So therefore, why should such action, Prabhupada says, why such action should not be independent? To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in a line of disciplic succession. So that it is said that one cannot ascertain the ways of religion simply by imperfect experimental knowledge. Actually, the three parts which I said, they are completely, Prabhupada has encapsulated that, all of that in this one purport. One cannot ascertain the ways of religion simply by imperfect experimental knowledge. Actually, the principles of religion can only be laid down by the Lord Himself, Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. It is our Purusha. No one can manufacture a religious principle by imperfect speculation. One must follow in the footsteps of great authorities like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Manu, Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlada, Bhishma, Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj, Janaka and Bali Maharaj. By mental speculation, one cannot ascertain what is religion or self-realization. Therefore, out of causeless mercy to a devotee, the Lord explains directly to Arjuna what is action and what is inaction. And why we need to know what is action and what is inaction, as it is explained by the Lord and as it has been propagated by the followers of the Lord who come in the disciplic succession. Why we need to know this? Because this will help us to make conscious choices. Like the other day, I was watching one video, of course made by devotees, our media services only. Very interesting video, and it shows about one young man's attempts to get a job. So he goes for interviews, job interviews at different places. So it is showed that how, what kind of young men, you know, different young men are coming for the interview, and everybody tries to be different so that they can impress the interviewer. So this devotee, he has just recently attended, it was a video about the Prerna festival. So he just recently attended Prerna festival, and then he goes for the interview. So this interviewer asks him a very philosophical question. What is life? According to you, what is life? So then this devotee says, life is nothing but journey from B to C. From B to D. So what do you mean? Life is journey between from birth to death. Okay, go ahead. And in between we have C, which are choices. So we make so many choices. That is what is life all about. Yes. So the choices that we make are determined by what we understand, how we make, what we understand of the of this world around us. Like so many devotees, yesterday heavy rain, whole of Mumbai came to a standstill. So many devotees got stranded here in the temple or around. But then, for them that was not a, you know, oh, we are stranded, what will we do? No problem. Okay, we stay here, spend the night at the temple, attend morning Mangalarti, morning program. We never get an opportunity. So they turned that, you know, sort of a negative thing. For so many else outside, those who are outside, for them it's like total bewilderment. What do I do? Where do I go? But for devotees, they turn that apparent, you know, loss into an opportunity to engage more in devotional service. Okay, maybe this is an opportunity. Let us grab this opportunity. We'll stay. We'll attend Mangalarti. So similarly, Lord Krishna, he talks in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where he discusses about the three kinds of intelligence. So he's speaking about intelligence in the mode of goodness. So that intelligence by which one knows what should be done and what should not be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, that intelligence is goodness. which gives us clear understanding about pravrittimcha, nivrittimcha, karya, karya, bhaya, bhaya. What is to be done? What is to be actually feared? What is to be not feared? You know, I mean, nowadays the world is going to through such a, I mean, such a situation that people are the great latest thing that is hitting is something called as a blue whale game. Everybody is playing blue whale. And the blue whale game is, it challenges the person who is playing the game to progressively difficult tasks to be done. So people take that as a game. And the more difficult it is, the more it is like, you know, it gives them a thrill to do it. But that is because they don't have proper intelligence, what is to be done, what is to be not done. What is to be feared and what is to be not feared. So we have to understand this through the scriptures. And therefore, we need to first study them. We need to study them. And then in the mode of, we see what, if we see in the mode of passion, the intelligent mode of passion, there is no understanding which can distinguish, by which person can distinguish between what is religion, what is irreligion, what is action that should be done, what is action that should not be done. This is intelligence in the mode of passion. And in the mode of ignorance, the person who has intelligence in the mode of ignorance, he considers that which is irreligious to be religious under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction. So by studying the scriptures, it gives us an understanding of what is our, you know, what is our correct path to be followed. Like this is a very, very, very often repeated analogy in our JSD, Journey of Self-Discovery course. Many devotees talk or compare Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures to be manual. So it is not just a tool to explain, but it is so. It is so. And specifically, these scriptures, they give us an understanding, they are given so that we can live a life of responsibility. Like we see in Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken because Arjuna, of course, again, with the disclaimer that Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord, Nitya Siddha Bhakta. And we have to understand that this whole thing was so that for fallen conditioned souls like us, we can understand. But what we have to understand is, Arjuna, he wanted to, as a, like, you know, playing the role of a conditioned soul, he wanted to avoid the responsibility of fighting. Fighting for dharma. He wanted to avoid that responsibility. And the entire discussion of this, what we now celebrate as Bhagavad Gita, took place so that Lord Krishna can explain and can convince him why fighting is something which he has to do as a responsibility, as a responsible person of society. Even though it may seem distasteful to him, but still he has to perform this. It is his responsibility to do this. So therefore, it may be painful, but still. But for that, that is one of the reasons why the scriptures exist. Again, we see another example where Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was not ready to take up the responsibility of ruling the kingdom after the war. So, what happens? If there is no king, there is anarchy. There has to be king. Somebody has to rule. And who else but the victor? As they say, the spoils of war go to the victors. But Yudhishthir Maharaj was so much just thinking about the cause that it was my greed that caused me to become the, to be the cause of death for so many people. So, but still, Krishna, even, in that whole scenario, Krishna does, in one activity, Krishna does so many things. He wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. And at the same time, he wanted to convince Krishna, to convince Yudhishthir. So apparently, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not convince Yudhishthir. Now what is impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We have that story, that when Narada goes to Vaikuntha, the Lord is, threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. We tell that story to explain what is impossible. Nothing is impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And still, because the Lord had, He is a supreme multitasker, so to say. So with one pastime, He achieves so many different objectives. He wants to convince Yudhishthir Maharaj, at the same time He wants to glorify Bhishma Dev. So therefore, He, brings them together. And then after hearing, and actually that part in Mahabharata, where Bhishma Dev is talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, that is one of the biggest sections of Mahabharata actually. I think Shanti Parva. That is one of the biggest sections where Bhishma Dev is explaining so many different things about how a king should rule, how this should happen, how everything. In detail, it is such a detailed explanation. And after that whole thing, it's not just glorifying Bhishma Dev in the sense that, Bhishma Dev was successful in convincing Yudhishthira Maharaj. But it also goes to show that what was the range of, Bhishma Dev was not just a big warrior. Generally the image that people have about Bhishma Dev is like a warrior type. He's a fighter, but his scholarly depth is totally exposed. What kind of a scholar and what was the depth of his knowledge and information in so many fields, that is so nicely brought out in that whole discourse where he is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj about how to rule the kingdom. So that is like, shining a very bright spotlight on Bhishma Dev. So, but the most important thing is, again, scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, they explain what are our responsibilities. What are the duties that we should perform. And they actually urge the individual to perform those duties, take those responsibilities, rather than shy away from them. And one very interesting, not only that Krishna is saying, but even when Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He Himself establishes the authority of scripture. Very nice pastime from the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita when the Lord was traveling in South India. So while the Lord was traveling to South India, He arrives at Madurai. And there He meets a Brahmana. So this Brahmana, He invites Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to His house for prasadam. And Brahmana was a great devotee and an authority on Lord Ramachandra. So after bathing in the river, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He goes to the Brahmana's house to take lunch. But He sees that nothing is prepared. No prasadam is prepared. The Brahmana has not cooked it. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, Sir, why have you not cooked the prasadam? It is already noon. So then the Brahmana, now he is speaking, "My dear Lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking. When Lakshman brings all the vegetables, fruits and roots from the forest, Sita will do the necessary cooking." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very satisfied to hear about the Brahmana's method of worship. Finally, the Brahmana hastily made arrangements of cooking. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he finally took his lunch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But the Brahmana, he was very sorrowful. And therefore, he fasted. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Brahmana, "What happened? Why are you fasting? Why are you unhappy? Why are you so worried?" And the Brahmana says, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering fire or water. My mother, Mother Sita, who is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune, she has been touched by the demon Ravana. And I am troubled upon hearing this news. So due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not living." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tries to convince this Brahmana, No, please don't think like this. Why do you consider think like this? You are such a learned Brahmana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that Sita Devi, the wife of Lord Ramachandra, has a spiritual form which is full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes. What to say about touching Mother Sita? A person with material senses cannot even see her. So when Ravana kidnapped Mother Sita, he only kidnapped her material illusory form. As soon as Ravana appeared before Sita, she disappeared. And just to cheat Ravana, she sent an illusory material form. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tries to convince him, "Please have faith in my words. Do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." So although the Brahmana was fasting because of his mood that, you know, how can I, when Ravana has touched Mother Sita, how can I have food? But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tries to convince him, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. So after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues his journey ahead and he travels further and he goes south. And at another place, Darbhasana, we have visited this, I think. Yeah, during our South India Yatra, the first South India Yatra, we have visited Darbhasana. So there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. And then ahead he went to Setu Bandha, he visited Dhanush Tirtha and all those things. And there he visited, when he visited the Rameshwar temple, there were a group of scholarly Brahmanas, they were discussing Kurma Puran. And in this discussion, they were discussing about the Mother Sita. So they were discussing that Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. And among chaste women, she is the supreme. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita and she saw him, she took shelter of Agnidev. And the fire god covered the body of Mother Sita and in this way she was protected from the being touched by Ravana. So upon hearing this from Kurma Puran, how Ravana had kidnapped a false form of Mother Sita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He asks from these scholarly Brahmanas to have a copy of that Kurma Puran. Why? Because he had already convinced the Brahmana back in Madurai to have food, to stop his fasting. But still, when he gets the scriptural evidence, he wants to present that scriptural evidence to this Brahmana back in Madurai. So he takes a copy of this Kurma Puran and he retraces his steps back to Madurai and goes and gives this to this Brahmana and says, "Now see, you don't have to take it is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. But still, He is saying, you just don't have to take it for, on my word. Here it is there in the scripture. See, it is mentioned in Kurma Puran. So the Lord, not just when He comes as Krishna, He is speaking Bhagavad Gita, He is again and again emphasizing the importance of reading the scripture in order so that we can understand what is our purpose in life, what are our responsibilities, what are our duties, to understand it through the scriptures, through the eyes of the scriptures, as it is said, Shastra Chakshu. More than that, even when He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to actually demonstrate Sarva Dharman Parityajya, to give a live demo, how to do Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Because even though as Krishna He spoke Sarva Dharman Parityajya, it was not possible for the living entities, conditioned living entities of Kali Yuga, to be able to actually live as in that way. So He came to give us a live demo, how to perform this, what He has explained in Bhagavad Gita. And even those lines where He is talking about emphasizing the necessity of studying scriptures, studying Vedas, not only studying Vedas, but how in the past so many great authorities have done that. And not only that we should study, but we should follow in the footsteps as has been explained by the great authorities. And even He, in that famous verse, how we should, evam parampara praptam, we should get this knowledge in disciplic succession. So therefore, it is so much relevant. And on a side note, I was just discussing with our resident scholar of astronomical calculations about certain dates, and he mentioned one very interesting fact which will be very interesting for us today. From the information which is given in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami concluded his speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to King Parikshit on the Bhadrapad Purnima. So now what is going on is the Shukla Paksha or the Gaura Paksha of Bhadrapad month according to the Indian calendar, and on the Purnima day, which is coming up, is the tithi when Bhagavatam was concluded by Sukadeva Goswami. So if we count 7 days from that, then Bhadrapad Shukla Navami is the day when Sukadeva Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj. And that is today's tithi. It happens to be today's tithi. So those who are thinking about beginning, let me start reading Bhagavatam, today would be a good day to start. And on another note, if somebody also planning to follow in the footsteps of Sukadeva Maharaj and finish reading in 7 days, maybe 2,000 pages per day, give or take little less. I mean, 2,000 pages per day is what comes out, because according to Vaisheshika Prabhu's calculation, if you want to finish Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 month, you have to read 488 pages per day. So if you have to finish in 7 days, it is roughly 2,000 pages per day. So somebody wants, they can even attempt that, following in the footsteps. But I don't know how much you will be successful. So let us, very nice day, so let us, if not the entire in 1 week, let us at least start with a sincere heart to study these books which have been given to us by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Because frankly speaking, without these Bhaktivedanta purports and books like Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, I am sure, speaking for myself, I would not have had any inclination to read any scriptures. Especially reading the scriptures, It is locked behind a door of the lock of language. It's locked. We may be able to read our mother tongue, but then we never take up books like this. So therefore it is very difficult, and because it is given, for me that was the biggest attraction to ISKCON. Everything that I ever thought I would like to read, but was not able to do so because of it being locked behind these language barriers, and being educated in English medium, I always used to have this thing, only if this was available in English, only if this was available in English. And that was, for me, was a eureka moment when I came to ISKCON. Oh, everything is in English. Here everything is in English first language. Okay. So we have to be very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, and the best way to express our gratitude would be to actually read Srila Prabhupada's books. And not just read, assimilate, understand, practice, and give it to others. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments, questions, Granth, huh?
Kya ho gaya? Na de do.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. If we happen to know aspiring devotees who are performing vikarma activities, and it is not good for their spiritual progress, so with a lot of love and all, I try to explain to them, but it just doesn't go into them, you know, and they continue doing it. So how can we save such devotees?
Pray to Radha Gopinath.
Okay.
Anya? Pray to Radha Gopinath. Because ultimately, what we are saying, and if we are saying it right, if it is not working, if we see it is not working, if we try to do it more and more, it is only a cause of irritation to the person. There are so many factors how we can convince. In order to convince, first of all, we need to have that kind of a relationship with the person. Whether we have that relationship, whether we may think we have that relationship, whether that person perceives us to be in that kind of relationship, so many factors are there. So once we have done a very sincere effort on our part, we know we have done it sincerely, but still it is not working, then we just apply the master formula. We just go to Radha Gopinath, pray for them sincerely, and that is the best that we can do for them.
And then we stop telling them.
Because you see, as you said, it's not working. So, if it is not working, then let us try something which will work, which is guaranteed to work. Especially on the appearance day of the Lord, Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Radhashtami, Janmashtami, Balram Jayanti, all these appearance days, they are in a very magnanimous mood, so we should make special prayers for such devotees whom we are unable to convince on other days by our words. Ultimately we are limited by our abilities. We don't have unlimited abilities like Krishna. So we take the case to them, and then even then our prayer should be, please do what you feel is best for them. Because every person's position, situation is very unique. We may be looking at it from a certain perspective, and we may feel that, if this happens to this person, it would be best. We don't know. They know best. They know everything, in and out. So we leave that matter in their court, and then we continue our own spiritual life, our own spiritual practice, rather than getting disturbed in even our devotional practice. Why they are not listening? At least we do our spiritual practice peacefully. Because we know now it is in their hands. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai.